You're listening to the Audacious Church podcast. This message was recorded live at our Chester campus. We know this is a great investment into your life. So tune in, listen up, and stay focused. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com.
And we're on our third week of our On Display series. Somebody say On Display. On Display. We had the awesome Chip Kendall with us last week on Acts 3. Who was here for Chip last week? Chip is amazing and he's crazy, isn't he? In the best way. He is authentically himself. We love him. I'm at an event with Chip in London on Wednesday, so please pray for me. A day with Chip. I'm kidding. We'll have a great time. But it's going to be interesting. Actually, pray for favor. I can't tell you much about what it is, but just pray for favor on conversations and relationships this week. We've got some incredible news to let you know off the back of our Vision Offering Sunday a couple of weeks ago. We have, drumroll please, we are currently, our new total of giving is at £220,000. Amazing. So we've gone from 180 to 220. Thank you so much for your giving, your generosity on the day and over the next 12 months as part of a two-year Vision Offering campaign. If you've been here, you know all about that. Which means, folks, that at the start of January, thereabouts, we're going to be able to start to demolish these walls behind us and open up the space for our new auditorium. Beginning the initial stages and works, it'll take about 6 weeks to get the demolishing done. And beyond that, we're going to have fun building our auditorium. We need more faith and more giving, but we know God is a generous God that will release all of the cash that we need to make it happen. Are you ready? Fantastic. The message I want to preach today is called Contagious Christianity. Catch it if you can. Contagious Christianity. Catch it if you can. We pick up a story from Acts chapter 2 and starting from verse 42. It says this. It says, they devoted, somebody say devoted, themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anybody who had need. Cool moment. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. So this is church. And then they broke bread in their homes. This is small groups. And ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. Catch this last verse. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. How many people would like to see the Lord add to us daily those who are being saved by faith? I know we do. But when I think about contagious Christianity, I think about marketing slogans and catchy sayings, things that are by essence contagious or have maybe subconsciously got into the psyche of who we are due to good marketing or presentations. Now, I'm going to read out to you some slogans, some catchphrases, and I'd love you to guess, shout out where they are from. Are you ready? First one, every little. Very good. Should have gone to. Have a break, have a. This will catch the youth out, this one. Auto glass repair. Red Bull gives you. There we go. Give yourselves a round of applause. This is good. That was good. We got there. These things that have become just ingrained in our minds that you don't even really need to think, but it just rolls off the tongue. They are catchy. They are contagious. And it's not by accident. In fact, it's by design. In 2024, catch this, the ad spend of the United Kingdom purely on advertisements was at a total of £42.6 billion. £42.6 billion British pounds in 2024 has been directed on ad spend so that we would catch the slogans, so that they would be contagious. But it's not just the adverts and the marketing that is spreading something. I want to suggest that we are too. The White House Office of Consumer Affairs says this, says dissatisfied customers tell on average between 9 and 15 people about their bad experience. Some tell as many as 20 people. In reality, we're all spreading something. Maybe it's the stories of a bad experience. Maybe it's the memories of a great holiday. Maybe it's the stories of old. We're all spreading something. And so today I want to ask you, what are you spreading? What are you spreading? How do people feel when they're around you? What do you leave them with? Do they leave your presence feeling inspired, encouraged, uplifted, glad that they spent that half an hour at coffee with you? Or do they leave your presence feeling like they need to take a bath, need to take a shower because they just feel like, that was gross, that was so negative, that was depressing, I wish we didn't hang out. What do people catch when they are around you? And the danger for us today, church, is this, is that people are going to catch something from our lives, whether we want them to or not. They're going to catch something. And they're either going to catch a diluted down version of the gospel, or they're going to catch a contagious Christianity that is uplifting, is inspiring, is full of faith, excitement, enthusiasm. What will they catch from your life? I want to suggest that Christianity should be contagious. It should be uplifting because we've got the hope of the world, Jesus, in our lives. They should catch the spirit of optimism when we speak. They should catch the spirit of faith. They should catch the fire of God. They should leave our presence feeling uplifted because they've been with us. That's how they should leave and exit our presence. But there's got to be deliberate things we put in place so that when they leave our presence, they would catch a glimpse of Jesus. They would catch a glimpse of God's presence. And so today I want to suggest two things. Everybody say two things. Two ingredients of what could be many ingredients of the early church. Two ingredients of a contagious church. The first one is this, is devotion. Somebody say devotion. Devotion. The Bible says this in Acts 2:42, says they, being the disciples, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. They devoted themselves. Now, this word devotion, to put the teacher's hat on for a second, comes from a Greek word called proskartereo, and it implies a deep, persistent, and dedicated commitment. It originates from two Greek words, the first one being pros, which means toward, and kartereo, which means to be strong or firm. Devotion's not surface level. Devotion's not shallow. It's not a tip to God. Devotion is the commitment, the being firm, the digging deep. This is what the early church displayed in their devotion and commitment to God. It wasn't surface level and shallow, but it was a deep commitment and devotion. Have you ever met anybody that's really devoted to something? Like, I mean, really devoted to something. I had the honor of meeting an incredible lady called Hei Wu, which isn't her real name, but is a pseudonym, in May of 2023 at our Assemblies of God conference. And Hei Wu is a North Korean incredible lady who was in North Korea, escaped to China, was then caught, sent back to North Korea, and went through 5 different labor camps in North Korea. Hei was telling us stories about her devotion at the conference and what devotion cost her in following God. The reality for her was she was in a North Korean labor camp and she was given a small portion of spoiled food every day to eat off of, as they all were. And Hei realized in this place that she wasn't just there by accident, but maybe God had allowed her to be there to be his witness in an incredibly tough environment. Hey, we thought to herself, maybe in this place, I can use my life and my story to encourage others to meet God. Now, in North Korea, it's a dictatorship. In fact, it's really bad in North Korea to the point where the teachers will educate and tell the kids to go home and look for Bibles in their home to catch the parents off guard. In fact, it's highly censored. Many of you will know about North Korea. And so Haewoo is in this environment where she's got her one portion of spoiled food, and she thinks to herself, how can I be a witness to people in this space? What she does is this. She gets her food, her tiny portion, she breaks it down into three, and she gives two portions away to other people in the camp, and she eats one portion for herself. She says this incredible line. She says, even though I give away 2/3 of my food, I never felt hungry. Thus was the miraculous sustenance of God. And as Haewoo distributes her food, conversations start about why is she doing this? Who is she? What's her story? And these conversations took place in the line to the toilets. And so what then happened was Haewoo started a church in the North Korean prison camp by speaking to people in the line to the toilets. No, they couldn't meet anywhere, could they, under penalty of death. So they started giving each other their food as communion and whispering in one another's ears in the line to the toilets. The guards weren't suspicious because the ladies were queuing to the toilet, but it was in that place that she led many people to Jesus and people came to know God. All because Haewoo makes this decision to let her devotion be on display, to realize it doesn't matter what environment that I'm in, I'm gonna be devoted to God. I'm going to be devoted to the people and to the house. The disciples have this same moment of devotion, this revelation in John 2:17. They say these words, they're thinking about what Jesus has said, and they said, remember, he told us, it is written, zeal for your house will consume me. Jesus is trying to get the disciples to understand that they need zeal for the Father and zeal for the house of God, because the house of God is the bride of Christ. We are the representation of Jesus here on earth. Devotion to God and devotion to the house. What you're devoted to is important. Whether it's things or people, it's vital for this reason. Because what consumes you comes out of you, and what captivates you catapults you. You need to be devoted to the right things, because what consumes you comes out of you, and what captivates you catapults you. And this was the story of the early church in Acts 2. They are so consumed by Jesus, his presence and his power, that it flowed through their lives in such a significant, powerful way. Because they were captivated by God, his presence, the temple, the things of God, it literally catapulted them into their destiny. And for hundreds and thousands of years, we have seen the church go from strength to strength to strength, not because of nice ideas, nice strategy, good marketing, but because the people of God are so consumed by Jesus that what is in them comes through them, and what captivates them catapults them. So I want to know today, church, are you consumed by Jesus? Are we devoted to God? Are we really devoted to him, to his presence, to his plans for us, to his church? Are we really consumed by the things of God? Why is that important? Because your life will be fuller, funner, more exciting, more free, more encouraging than you could ever imagine, all because you make a decision to make Jesus the number one of your life and to be consumed by him, consumed by his word, his presence, by worship. How do you know? How do you know if you're consumed or devoted to Jesus? Two things. There's two ways you know if you're really devoted to something. The first one is this, is what you spend your time on. How you spend your time will tell you how devoted you are to something or someone. How you diary your life, how you schedule, how you prioritize. That will tell you, as an honest reflection, how devoted you are to something. And the second thing is this, is what you spend your money on. A clear indication of what you're devoted to. If you open up our bank statement, Lizandra and I, you will see many, many payments to many coffee shops across Chester, because we love coffee. We love the coffee, the environment, hanging out with people, that's just part of who we are. Our bank statement will tell you what we're devoted to. And I wonder, what does your bank statement tell you about what you're devoted to? What does your calendar and your diary tell you about what you're devoted to. Because I reckon if we can become consumed by Jesus, then the ministry of God will flow out and through us, because what consumes us will come out of us. Contagious Christianity. Catch it if you can. And the second ingredient, the second thing about a church that is contagious, that is captivated by God, is signs and wonders. We've got devotion, and then we've got signs and wonders. Somebody say sign. Somebody say wonder. The Bible says this in Acts 2:43. It says, everyone, this isn't just the people in church, this is everybody in society. Everyone, the Bible says, was filled with awe and wonders at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. Because contagious Christians should expect outrageous events. Contagious Christians, which I want to suggest we need to be, should expect outrageous events. In fact, it's so important to us that we wrote it into our purpose statement as a church. Coming up on the screen. This is who we are as a church. If you ask Audacious Church, what's your purpose? It's this: hearing the inaudible, seeing the invisible, believing the incredible, and together doing the impossible. Did you know today that God can do something in a moment that can change the whole trajectory of your life? God can do one thing in one moment that it would take us a whole lifetime to achieve on our own. God can touch your body in such a way that it circumvents the whole process of GPs, doctors, and referrals, because just one touch from God has healed your body. God can give you a word about your future and your direction that brings clarity where there's been confusion. God can do the miraculous. God can touch our hearts. He can restore our minds. That is who He is. But so often we've forgotten that's who He is, and therefore relegated who we are. Paul the Apostle, he writes to the church in Ephesus, trying to remind them about who they are. He says this in Ephesians 1 verse 3. He says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus, trying to remind them about what they already have. You don't need a new thing, church. You don't need to go looking elsewhere. You just need to remember what you already have. The Bible says every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. Have you got something that you've maybe forgotten the power of or the impact that it can bring or it can have? I think to our house at the minute, Confession Church, we have put the heating on. We are those people, and once the heating goes on, it doesn't go off, does it? You don't put the heating on for a week, and then next week you think, nah, we'll not put the heating on this week. We have literally crossed that Rubicon moment. But it came to mind this week, because you put the heating on and it's expensive, and then it takes forever to come on, and then if you just want it in one room to save money, you've got to go around the heaters and adjust them. It's so much palaver, isn't it? First world problems, really. And we forgot that next door in our living room, we have an electric blanket. Let me tell you, we got the electric blanket this week. We put it in, put it to setting number 9 on high, full blast, put it on the sofa, and within seconds, we are boiling hot as the electric blanket has done its job. Totally forgot the power of what we already had. And so Trader's final this week was amazing, because the heating didn't have to go on, but the electric blanket did. We totally forgot the power of something we already had. And Paul is writing to the church to remind them, church, you've forgotten what you already have. The spiritual gifts, weapons of warfare the Bible talks about. And we referenced this 2 weeks ago. I'm going to fly through them again really quickly. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7, it says this, now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Somebody say good. To each one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, another knowledge, another faith, another gifts of healing, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, still to another the interpretation of tongues. Verse 11, all these are the work of the one and the same Spirit. All work of the one and the same Spirit. And he distributes them to each as he determines. Fast forward a little bit in Ephesians 1 in verse 18, Paul goes on to write, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. Verse 19, this is it. And his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength that raised Christ Jesus from the dead, and it lives in you. I want to tell you today, church, that you've got every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus if you follow God today. You've got access to spiritual gifts today, that you don't have to do this life on your own, but by encountering God, by yielding your lives to him, by submission to Jesus, you can live this incredible faith-filled life full of power, miracles, breakthrough, all because of the power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead. The early church was so contagious that they demonstrated through signs and wonders the power of God. They were consumed by Jesus, so consumed by God, that they couldn't help but let the ministry of God flow through them. And so right throughout the last 100,000 years as the church has been built, we've seen revival after revival, we've heard story after story, and we've seen it here too, week after week, of God doing what only he can do, of him doing the miraculous, of him setting people free, of him changing lives, family trees, restoring blind eyes, doing only what God can do. Not because we're manufacturing the right environment, but because we're opening up our hearts and yielding ourselves to God. What happens is this in Acts 4, verse 13, says this, when they saw the courage of Peter and John, they took note that they had been with Jesus. Christianity is most contagious when you've been with Jesus. Because what is then developed in your heart is then enveloped through your life. As you spend time with God in the secret place, he does the miraculous in your heart. He draws you near to himself, more of a love for who he is, for life, for people. And out of that secret place, the ministry of God flows through us. This is all about cultivating the fire in our own hearts. John Wesley, an 18th century preacher, said this. This is spiritually, not literally. He says, I set myself on fire so that people then come and watch me burn. In other words, he yields himself to the presence of God in such a powerful way that he lays his life down. And everybody that sees his life knows that he's been with Jesus because of the grace, the love, the compassion, the works of God that flow through his life. Not because he's perfect, that's not it, but because he's submitted. He's consumed by God, by Jesus, by the house of God, that what comes to him, comes through him. What he's consumed by comes through his life. And what has now captivated him catapults him. Church, I want to know today, are you consumed by Jesus? Is your Christianity so contagious that everywhere you go, people feel like they've been with the Lord? Because they just get a sense that there's something different about your life. Not because of you ticking all the right religious boxes, but simply because you create a moment to be consumed by God. So today we're going to worship and we're going to take an opportunity again for all of us to be consumed by God. Devotion to him, thankfulness for all that he's done. And out of that secret place, the ministry of Jesus will flow through us. We'll see signs and wonders, people set free. Hey, touch, we'll have courage like never before to face the circumstances of life, all because we are consumed by his presence. So right across the room, if you're saying today, I want to be more consumed by Jesus, then join me. Come down to your knees as we worship. Just lay your life down again and say, Lord, I want to be consumed. I want to be devoted. I don't want a token gesture today, but Lord, I want to give my heart to you again. I want to lay it down at your feet. and be totally consumed by your presence. So Father, right now we lay our lives down again under the name of Jesus, saying today, Lord, we open up our hearts to you again. We open up our lives. We give you all the glory, all the adoration, and all the praise. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to this Audacious podcast. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com. We'd love for you to join us at one of our campuses, Manchester, Chester, or online, every Sunday, 10 a.m. and 12 p.m.